Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk hosts as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. The Royals are back in action coming up later today. They are down in Arlington, Texas, taking on the Texas Rangers. I have never been to a Texas Rangers home game before, but I have seen their stadium, very beautiful stadium, right next to Cowboys Stadium. That's where the Royals are for the next handful of days or so. We are back to regularly scheduled programming. We will be talking about the Royals today. Denny Matthews will be on the show coming up in about an hour or so. Josh Vernier will also be on the show today as well. We're also going to talk a little bit of World Cup coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Actually, the president for the Kansas City portion of the World Cup is going to be on the show coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Really excited to be here with you guys today. We will talk about game five of the NBA playoffs as well as the Oklahoma City Thunder. They take a commanding 3-2 lead against the Indiana Pacers. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on with Tyrese Halliburton, because yesterday he had as many made shots as his jersey number, and he wears zero. Not a great day for the Indiana Pacers. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Rob is here as well. Happy that Rob is here. You are here as well. Well, before we move forward, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. It'd be great if you could tell two people to check out the show, but you know what? Beggars won't be choosers. If you could just tell one person to check out the show, I would greatly appreciate it. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to split the lead up today. We're going to cut things in the middle. We're going to give the Chiefs a little bit of their time. We're going to give the Royals a little bit of their time. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. One of the biggest questions, really the only question that we had for mandatory minicamp, which is today, tomorrow, and Thursday, was, will Trey Smith be there? Trey Smith, you guys know, got the franchise tag earlier in the year, and now the Chiefs are at the mandatory portion of camp. Now, for those of you that don't know the rules, you can be fined for missing the mandatory part of practice, but the team can choose to waive the fines. So let's say that Travis Kelce didn't want to come. He's a little bit older. He's been there. Let's say Travis Kelce shows up for the first 2 days but doesn't show up for the final day. The Chiefs can fine Travis Kelce $17,000, or they can simply just say, you know what, it's not that big of a deal. You are excused. Go ahead and get an early start on your vacation. So this part is up to the team's discretion if they want to fine you or not. That is not how training camp is. That's why it was a big deal a couple of years ago whenever Chris Jones was missing training camp. You cannot get those fines waived. It is in the collective bargaining agreement. So those things just keep adding up over time. So I was a little bit surprised to see that Trey Smith was there. There is definitely an injury risk. You are playing football. You are practicing football. You're running. You're jumping. If you get hurt, you potentially damage your value. Well, Trey Smith showed a sign of good faith. He is there. He is participating in Chiefs practice. This is not a hold-in. He's not just on the sideline looking. He is actually practicing with the Kansas City Chiefs. They asked Chris Jones about it, who would certainly know about being in this situation. This is what he said.
Well, it's good Trey didn't take my approach. Trey doing the right thing, man. Don't take no advice from me. Like, I did things a little different. Don't take no advice from me. Trey, you in a good place. You know, franchise tag is like $25 million, right? That's the big bucks. Yeah, he's in a good place. Stay healthy. Be ready to compete in training camp, which I know Trey will be, and we're excited to have him around. I think the future plans for the Chiefs is to have Trey around. He's a pivotal part of our offensive line. You know, to have him back out here, he's a superior guard in this league. Could be all pro this year. You know, his body of work speaks for itself. So we're glad to have him back out. Brings a lot of energy to the offensive line, and it's a good way for us to compete on the defensive line.
Right now, if you are looking at on a yearly salary, Trey Smith is the highest paid interior offensive lineman in the league. He is the highest paid guard in the National Football League. If you are talking about total contract, right now, the highest contract for a guard in the National Football League is 5 years, $102 million. It is also $48 million guaranteed. So Trey Smith has been guaranteed a little less than half of that number. I'm a little bit surprised that he's there, but I do think it shows a sign of good faith on both sides. You are not showing up to work today without feeling very good about where your negotiations are. So I believe that the Chiefs and Trey Smith are fairly close on a deal. And I expect that before training camp, we will see an announcement. We'll have a tweet. We will get a something that the Chiefs and Trey Smith have agreed to a long-term contract extension. I think the Chiefs want Trey Smith here. I obviously think that Trey Smith wants to continue playing for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is in line to make $23.1 million regardless of what happens this season. And now you are using that as the floor for your negotiations. So I suspect that the Chiefs are willing to pay him what the market says that he's worth. So I'm suspecting that he's going to get a, what, 5 for $125? Somewhere in that range, a pretty hefty guarantee. That is what you've already committed to paying Trey Smith. I believe that we are really close to getting that announcement with the Chiefs right guard, and that at some point between now and when the team heads to St. Joe, I suspect that this is going to be a contract that gets done by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, let's transition to the Kansas City Royals. J.J. Piccolo, he was on the midday show earlier today. There was a report that was circulating, basically, that the Royals are open for business, that because of the last 10 days for the Kansas City Royals, they're now open to moving some of their veteran players, and Seth Lugo was named. J.J. Piccolo was asked about this directly earlier today. This is what he said.
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be, and you know the accountability of that writer should be in question.
That is J.J. Piccolo on Cody and Gold earlier today. Now, I don't know if this is true or not true. It's not my reporting. It's not my sourcing. I will say that J.J. Piccolo saying that it's not true doesn't necessarily mean that that's the case. Teams come out and deny reports all of the time. And then we find out that, no, in fact, you were having these conversations. I didn't expect J.J. Piccolo to come on the radio today and say, yeah, we've been talking about trading Seth Lugo. I didn't expect him to come out and say that. But I think more than anything, I think the Royals have told you we have not quit yet. Now, that's important. Now, that's step one. Acknowledging that you have not quit is a great first step. Now comes the hard part of turning this thing around. The Royals are in a danger zone right now. We are kind of reaching that portion where the summer is starting to get busy. You got vacations. Your kids have things that are going on. Football season is going to be here a lot more quickly than you anticipate. The Royals are in a little bit of a danger zone here of losing people's attention, and where the Royals are going to be one of those franchises, man, everybody's not going to be buyers at the deadline. And we have had a lot of conversations regarding this team about them being buyers, about them going out of the market and going to get an outfield, or about going to go get an impact bat to turn things around. I don't know if you can really justify that right now with the way that the Royals are playing. I would say it seems very likely right now that the Royals will either be a team that stands firm and doesn't make any moves, or a team that is going to be sellers and start to play and plan for next season. Now, we got a long way to go. We got 5, maybe 6 weeks to go before the Royals have to make that decision. But with the week that they just had, every conversation should be discussed. The Royals should be discussing, hey, we're not that far out of it. The Royals should be discussing, maybe it's not in our best interest to trade Seth Lugo right now. But the Royals absolutely should be having those conversations right now. That's part of your job. Part of your job sometimes is to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And you got to be honest and realistic with yourself about what chances you have to actually compete, actually win a championship, and do something special this year. And sometimes that requires you to make very difficult decisions. Maybe that requires you to trade a Seth Lugo to go get the impact bat that you want. And you're not thinking about that necessarily as a move to help you in 2025, but also help you in 2026 when the Royals will once again have the foundation to be a team that can win the division and be a team that can make noise in the postseason. But let's focus on the here and now. Let's focus on 2025. This is a season that is slipping away. The Royals, I think, have about 10 more days of your interest. And if the next 10 days go how the last 10 days have gone, it can be football season real quick around here. We could be heading into 4th of July weekend. Training camp is 2 weeks away. The Royals are 12 games under 500. They're 15 games back in the division. And we have all moved on our collective interest to doing something else. So how are the Royals going to handle these next four series? They got two on the road. They come back home. They got Tampa Bay. They also have the Los Angeles Dodgers in a series that I imagine a lot of people will go out there to the ballpark to watch. And usually when a lot of people go out to the ballpark, the Royals don't win those games. How the Royals play these next 2 weeks will tell us everything we need to know about J.J. Piccolo, everything we need to know about their manager, everything we need to know about this roster. It's one thing to do the talking part, and they have done the talking part great the last 3 days. They're having team meetings with each other. Their manager, their general manager is coming out very emphatic. No, we're not trading them. Anybody saying that's ridiculous? And all of that sounds good. We're worried about the product on the field. And the product on the field has been incredibly disappointing the last 2 weeks. And you have put together an offense. You have built an offense right now that is 29th in runs scored. And we have been asking, begging, hey, if the Royals can just get to middle of the pack, they can do something. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. We are not that far away from the midpoint of the season. At some point, the Royals got to give you a reason to believe they're going to turn their offense around. And I just haven't seen many signs of that as we've been watching this team so far this season. Coming up on the other side, if you missed any part of J.J. Piccolo, we've cut it down to the best of. We'll hear what the general manager of the Royals has to say. That's coming up next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys. Coming up in just a little bit, we are going to play for you guys what J.J. Piccolo had to say earlier today. He was on the midday show. First, I'd like to play for you guys Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby Witt Jr. spoke on the players only meeting. I believe he is actually the one that called the players only meeting. They had this after Saturday's loss to the A's, and it did so well, they lost again on Sunday. The Royals had an off day yesterday. All the time in the world to meet and try to figure this thing out. Here is the Royals all-star, Bobby Witt Jr.
I think it was good. We needed to have that. Things aren't going the way that we want it to be, and so we have to talk about it. If you look at yourself in the mirror, you got to talk as a team. We're a family in here, and so families talk, and so that's what we did, and we gotta just figure some things out.
Why was now the time?
Because it keeps going on over and over again where it's like, oh, it's gonna come, but no, it hasn't came, and so we have to figure something out, we have to change something, and so the time was now.
Did any one player spearhead this meeting or anything of that nature?
Yeah, it was kind of everyone spoke their voice, and yeah.
Just offensively, you're talking about hoping it comes. What's the stretch been like for you individually and as a team?
Yeah, for me, it's been not good. And so I got to look at myself in the mirror and say, what do I need to do? And I just need to get better. It starts from me. And that's honestly something that when I'm going, things are going better. And so I just got to get back to being myself. And so I'm not trying to put pressure on myself, but just really just trying to go out there, be comfortable and confident and enjoy the game. And so that's what I want to get back to doing. And it's frustrating that I'm not doing what I am capable of doing and doing it very poorly. And so I just got to get back to be myself.
I'm not saying that this is Bobby Witt Jr.'s fault by any means. So I don't want anyone out there to take it that way. But the belief with a lot of people is that the Royals have the best player in the American League. Last year, a lot of people made the argument that Bobby Witt Jr. was the American League MVP because of how valuable he is to his team, both on the offensive and defensive side of things. He's a very talented, very good player. He is having a down year. He has 8 home runs. Did you know that right now, and I saw this actually right before the show, he doesn't have the most home runs this season at Kauffman Stadium. Think about that. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz has as many home runs as Bobby Witt Jr. has, and he played 3 games here. So that's one side of it. Last year, Bobby Witt hit .332. This season, he's hitting .279. His on-base percentage also down 50 points. He had 32 home runs last year. He has 8 home runs this year. Now, Bobby Witt Jr. is still having a very productive season, is still going to likely be an all-star. Does it feel like the Royals have the best player in the American League? Does it feel like the Royals have the second best player in the American League? So I'm not saying that Bobby Witt Jr. is their biggest issue. And trust me, the Royals have a lot more issues than just Bobby Witt Jr. But this team really is designed around the concept of Bobby being special. Bobby's been good. I don't necessarily know if Bobby has been special so far offensively for them. So that is one of the problems that the Royals have. You heard him say that. Hey, I got to be better. I don't want to put a lot of added pressure on myself. And I get all of that. But one thing that could help get the Royals out of this slump is they go get back one of the most dangerous hitters in all of baseball. And right now, they just don't have that. They don't have a lot of things, but they don't have the one thing that their team is sort of built around. This team is different than the 14 and 15 Royals. Those teams were built off move the line and having a bunch of guys that hit 280 to 300. It's not really what this Royals team is based on. That's not how they won last year. They won last year because Bobby Witt Jr. was maybe the best baseball player on the planet, and how that fueled Salvador Perez and that fueled Vinny Pasquantino for much of the season. We're talking about a team that when Vinny got injured, the Royals were 6th in runs scored. So it's not like it was a long time ago in which this offense was very viable. So a lot of things have just declined. Bobby's 15-20% worse this season. Salvi's not the same player. Vinny's not the same player. Even though Vinny is starting to get things back on track, you start to kind of chip away at it from that perspective. And then some of your role players don't take the step forward the way that you thought they would. You have a couple of injuries. Guys don't perform the way that you think they're going to perform. And right now you're looking at an offense right now that's ranked 29th. That's on everybody. This isn't Bobby pointing and saying, hey, this is y'all problem. No, you are also a part of it. So we acknowledged it. We spoke as men. Let's see if we can get this thing together and get right back on track. The Royals are not that far off the path. They're 4 games under .500. You go out there and you win 8 of your next 10, you're right back in it. And you're right back in the thick of the wild card picture. So as bleak as it may feel right now for the Royals, you're really not that far off of the mark. It really just takes, in the same way that you did a lot of damage in 10 games, you can undo a lot of that. That's what they did earlier in the season when they had a similar stretch and then they got hot right on the back end, the end of April, early part of May. They can do that exact same thing if they just start playing better and more consistently. Earlier today, J.J. Piccolo, he was on the midday show, and he was asked if he thinks that the players-only meeting is going to work for this team.
Well, I think it depends on the content of the meeting and how it goes. You know, my understanding was this was a very positive meeting. There wasn't any finger pointing. It was just like, guys, we got to get going here. Like, we're underperforming right now. I think it can help, because, again, that accountability piece is being voiced. But when it really comes down to it, you still got to play the game. You know, right now we're not playing as aggressively as we typically do. That was one of the things last year. You all remember the boys are playing some ball. That was a mantra because we were playing great defense. We were running the base as well. We were getting runners in, and the boys were playing some ball, you know, and that's something that has to happen on the field. You can verbalize it all you want, but at some point it has to become actionable. But having a meeting like that where the leaders speak up and the veterans speak up is a step in that direction, because we're acknowledging that we're not doing those things and we need to get back to it.
You mentioned the coaching, and I think when an offense is performing the way you guys are right now and really have for the entirety of the season this point in time, folks outside the organization look at the players first and foremost, but then they also start looking maybe at the hitting coaches and the philosophy in terms of the organization when it comes to that. You still have plenty of confidence in where your approach is as an organization and with the hitting coaches in place right now?
I do. I mean, we've known these guys for a lot of years. They've done a wonderful job. I mean, you know, two of the three that are in the trenches every day, we're with these guys going through the minor leagues. They've built relationships. They have trust in each other. Players have trust in them. You know, they feel it just as much as the players do, and they want to, you know, wave the magic wand and try to figure out what each guy needs. But really, it's just staying positive right now, understanding the history between the coaches and the players. And the reminders. Nobody knows our current hitters as well as the guys in our batting cages every day. I mean, they live with them every day. They understand their swings. They understand what makes them tick. And now it's just a matter of trying to tweak some things here and there, but also stay positive. You know, you've got to stay positive through these tougher times. And I know we have the right guys that will stay positive, and they put the work in every day. You know, I can tell you this. Today in Texas is not going to look any different than last year in Texas as far as the energy and the positivity and our processes. But now the challenge is a little bit greater because the confidence, you know, is wavering a little bit. But all it takes is one little good run offensively to get that confidence back and you just go play baseball.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. So with that said, you know, there's some reports out there that you guys are looking for some outfield help. Now, that isn't just because the trade deadline's the end of July, and obviously it could be an active one late, doesn't mean that moves won't happen earlier, of course. So are you guys currently looking to add to this team still and be aggressive?
Yeah, well, I think we're just trying to monitor things. I mean, nobody seems to be very active right now. I know we had the big trade the other day, and that was a very unique trade for a lot of reasons. But, you know, it doesn't seem like teams are actively shopping players right now. So you just keep evaluating things. And what we've tried to do is let's look internally. You know, what do we have internally that maybe can pick us up a little bit? And it may not be the big bopper, like, you know, Devers being traded. But if we can add to our offense and improve on the margins, improve our defense, improve our base running, we're going to explore that first, because there doesn't seem to be a market right now where there's an outfielder available. So guys are getting opportunities right now, whether it's John Rave, Jack Caglione, they're all getting opportunities to play. And then it gives us more time to evaluate who they are and how they can impact this team in 2025. You know, so all that's coming into, you know, our thoughts, our processes, and really until you get somebody that is, you know, clearly going to be trading an outfielder, we can talk about it all we want, but we can't force another team to make a trade.
Understand your positioning, of course, in the standings can change drastically from this week to 3 weeks from now, but when you look outside the organization, though, and you at least try to maybe start those conversations, are you guys looking to make a deal or a player that can help you beyond 2025? Or is this an organization right now that's in a position that would still be willing to make a move if it only impacts 2025?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. I mean, I guess the best way to answer it is the preference is always to have control. I mean, that you know, more years of control certainly benefits your organization. But when it comes down to it, who are the pool of players that are actually going to be traded and what do their contracts look like? And when we get to that moment, I could better answer, if a rental player is all that's available. But you always set your sight, you know, at least we do, on players that have more than a year of control. That was what we followed last year. Doesn't mean that's what we're going to do this year, but so much of it depends on the pool of players that are available that will help us shape that answer.
There's a report out within the last hour, so I hate to put you on the spot a little bit here, JJ. That Mark Healy had a report in the last hour and a half or so that he's hearing Royals ownership has, I guess, told you to start thinking about trading some veteran talent. I guess your reaction to that is that, have you had those conversations?
Unequivocally false. That is as false as can be, and you know the accountability of that writer should be in question.
As far as who makes the final call, is it in the front office with you, JJ, and the scouts? Is it ownership? As far as the direction, how often do you guys have those conversations? Like, all right, do we push all in? Do we kind of wait? Who kind of makes that decision?
Well, I mean, ultimately, it'll be myself. And, you know, along with ownership, you know, their thoughts on the team, but it'll be myself. But if you sat with us over the last three games, from the first inning to the fourth inning to the seventh inning, the conversation kept shifting. You know, the emotions of the game get you thinking different ways. But ultimately, it'll be baseball operations decision. You know, and we always have good discussions with ownership, and just because we want them to be aware of what we're thinking and, you know, collectively make a great decision.
That was JJ Piccolo earlier today. He was on the midday show. I highly encourage you to check out the full interview. If you want to check that out, it's on 96.5 The Fan, also the Odyssey app. If you want to hear that interview in its entirety, let me read a couple of text messages. Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the Royals' only good stretch this season was because they beat up on bad competition and had unbelievable pitching that we are seeing was not sustainable. This is where I struggle with when it comes to criticism for the Royals. I'm not saying that the Royals' pitching is perfect, and they definitely have taken on some injuries over the last couple of weeks or so. Cole Reagans has not been healthy. Seth Lugo is not the same pitcher that he was last year. Yes, their pitching early on was unbelievable, and yes, that was not sustainable. They just had a homestand of six games, and they scored 11 runs. This offense isn't consistently giving you two runs a night. Like, I can only be so critical of the pitching when your offense pretty routinely just doesn't really put you in a position to win. The Royals have had back-to-back homestands in which they have lost a game 1-0. It's one thing to do that to the Cardinals. You're losing like that to the A's? You're getting beat like that by the Oakland A's? You're getting shut out? So, yes, the Royals starting pitching maybe isn't what it was in mid-April, early May. The problem continues to be the offense, and it's never not been the offense. I made this analogy earlier in the season. You're not beating teams consistently in the NFL 13-10, 10-7. It's not the way that it's built. The Royals, the only way that they've really shown they can consistently beat people is 2-1, 3-2. It's just really difficult to do on a night-in, night-out basis. And when you play teams like the Yankees, like they did this week, man, if you can't score 4, 5, 6 runs a night, you just don't have a chance of beating that kind of team. They got too many guys. They got Aaron Judge, and Stanton just came back from injury. They've got too many. You're not beating them like that. That's what the Royals tried to do in the postseason. And when the Yankees got to 4, that's just not really a game that the Royals are going to win. So I can only be so critical of the pitching when it is very obvious what their problem is, and it's their offense, and their offense just doesn't consistently give you a chance to win. I did notice something that JJ said. He mentioned a lot of positivity and the process. You guys are focused on the wrong P word. You guys need to be focused on production and productivity. That's what it's about at this point. You can talk to me about having a good attitude. And yes, having a good attitude is important. You guys are in a results-oriented business. Rob, you and I can come in here every day with good attitudes. We work in a ratings business. If you're in 13th place, they'll find somebody who can be productive and have a good attitude. That's how everybody's job works. So at some point, either it needs to be a potential turnover of the roster, or you got to start getting a new voice and try to get some of these guys back on track. I think we all agree for the most part that the Royals, they have some of the pieces offensively. You don't have the pieces offensively to be the best lineup in baseball, but you certainly have enough pieces to be, I don't know, 18th in scoring. You got enough pieces to be middle of the pack. They're 29th. Every team in the American League has scored more runs than they have. The Rockies have scored more runs than them, and the Rockies are on pace to lose 130 games this year. There's no reason for the Royals offense to be as bad as they've been this season, given the pieces that they have.
I think you have to ask the following question, and maybe we're saying the same thing, we're just saying it differently. Because the major problem between last year's Royals and this year's Royals is either A, all the hitters that were good last year are just having really bad luck. Bobby is worse. Vinny, while being better of late, is worse. Salvi is worse. Like, the guys they are relying on to be big boppers outside of Garcia have all taken a step back. So the question you got to ask is it A, just bad luck? Which I'm actually open to hearing that conversation because of their historically bad batting average with runners in scoring position. Like, it's almost comical how bad it is. Or they're all regressing at the exact same time. And if it's the second thing, if Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi all regressed in the exact same season, then someone needs to be held accountable. That's the P word I'm thinking about because you're right. It's productivity. And if the productivity is the lack of productivity is a product of, hey, just some dumb luck, then what the Royals are saying and preaching is correct. It's processed positivity. Eventually, luck changes. But if it's the product of, you know, something is wrong, then someone needs to be held accountable for the wrongness. And I'm not saying it's Q. I'm not saying it's JJ. I'm not demanding John Sherman sell the team. But much like Mizzou, and we use the analogy all the time on the show, I think it was 2022, 2023, Tennessee ran wild on them. The D-line coach got fired the next day.
Immediately.
If you can't hit and your batting average with runners in scoring position is comically low, unless you truly believe it's bad luck, someone has to be held accountable for the lack of productivity.
Yeah, and to me, and you tell me if you disagree, are we doing this because we think it makes a difference, or is it something that will simply make the fans happy? Because sometimes you got to do that in this business. Sometimes the mob is asking for you to give them something, so you got to give somebody away. And if it is the hitting coach, if it is one day you were driving and you get a notification from MLB.com that the Royals have fired their hitting coach and that makes you happy as a fan, good. But do we think that their problem is a hitting coach issue? I don't know if it's a hitting coach issue. Now, on the flip side, how many bats have they developed? How many guys can you say based on this hitting coach, oh, okay, I see. So that's a very fair point. But some of this, I think, was kind of obvious to see. All of us saw, hey, you guys need to go get an outfielder. Oh, well, we couldn't. I mean, we tried. We did our best. Okay, all right. Doesn't matter if you tried. You don't have it. You now need it. Their leading outfielder has 3 home runs. It's the middle of June. You have no pop in the outfield. Your best player is 15% worse than last year. Your catcher is starting to show signs of age for the first time. So, I mean, if we go back and we look at their opening day lineup, we thought that was a team that was going to score a lot of runs this year. So I hear what you're saying. And if the Royals fire their hitting coach, I'm certainly not going to feel bad for them. I mean, your team is 29th in runs scored. Your team is not productive offensively, and this is a big boy million-dollar-a-year job. You aren't good enough at it, so if they got rid of you. But I'm a big believer that this is a player issue. Either they don't have the right talent on this team, or guys are simply not executing. And if I'm looking at their lineup, it seems like it should be a lot better than what it is. You like their 1-6. This team is not just losing because of 7-8-9. No, this team is losing as a collective. This team is losing from start to finish. They scored 11 runs in their 6-game homestand. You're not consistently scoring 2 runs a night. You're going to get beat by just about anybody, and they got beat pretty handily this past week. All right, coming up on the side, we'll get to the NBA. You guys remember a couple of games ago, Stephen A. Smith, he got caught playing solitaire. He has now addressed that. We'll play for you what he had to say. We'll also talk about Game 5 yesterday as the Thunder take a 3-2 lead in that series over the Pacers. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back into The Drive. Coming up at the top of the hour, Denny Matthews is going to be on the show. Really happy to catch up with the Royals Hall of Fame broadcaster, Denny Matthews. All right, there was some controversy a couple of days ago. I believe it was game 4 of the NBA Finals, and someone caught Stephen A. Smith on his phone playing solitaire. Now, you guys know how the internet works. They posted this. At first, Stephen A. Smith said this was during a timeout. They were like, wait, no, that's not the case. They then showed the full video. The game is going on, and Stephen A. Smith is right there on his phone playing solitaire. Well, earlier today, he was on SiriusXM, and he was asked about it, and here is what Stephen A. Smith had to say about playing the very popular card game during the NBA Finals.
I was doing what the hell I always do. And for those out there who don't like it, kiss my ass. When I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. If there's a break in the action, it could be a dead ball. It could be a timeout or something like that. I can play the damn thing for 2 seconds. Somebody is standing over me, upper deck, zooming in on my phone, watching me and saying, oh, he's playing solitaire. He's not focusing on the game. I watch over 100 games a year. I'm on TV every morning for 2 hours, 10 hours live every day. And that's just one job. That don't count Countdown. That don't count SportsCenter. That don't count all the obligations that I have. And I'm sitting there and getting a little break, and I decide to play a little solitaire, which, by the way, I always do. And I mean always. If I sit up there, if there's halftime, I might go on my phone for 2 minutes and play solitaire. At the end of the game, before a game, I do the same thing. Damn it, if you had a little break in between, I might have been praying it again because I like the game.
All right. This is the thing. And I like Stephen A. I really do. I like Stephen A. And I believe that a lot of us have this kind of activity. You're just kind of sitting there. You want a little bit of a mental break. That's turned into TikTok for me. Just a quick little 2-3 minutes. I watch a little bit of it, and then I get back to what I need to do. So I understand what Stephen A. Smith is saying. I do. I really get it. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, my bad, man. That's on me. I should have done a better job paying attention. That's all you got to say. Stephen A., we know you're on TV all the time. We see it. We see it. We know you're on First Take. We know you do Sunday NBA Countdown. We know you do all of these things. I feel like every time Stephen A. is kind of backed up into the corner, he starts to run down his resume for us. Bro, that ain't what we talking about. You're the highest paid employee at ESPN, and you're playing games on your phone during the NBA Finals, a game in which you are being paid to be there to give us your thoughts and opinions on the game. For a moment there, we caught you. You weren't watching the game. All you got to do is say, hey, my bad, man. All right, they got me. Have a little fun with it. Laugh at yourself. I feel like in all of these controversies, there is a common theme. Stephen A., maybe he's just gotten too big, so successful, he can't laugh at himself from time to time. This is a minor thing. It's a 48-minute game. It's a 3-hour stretch. Sure, you played solitaire for, you missed one bucket. It's not the biggest deal in the world. It looks bad, but have a little bit of fun with it. We don't got you to run through your resume every time. Bro, it ain't that big of a deal. Now we got to kiss your backside because you was playing solitaire during the game. It's silly. It's nonsense to me. Hey, my bad, man. That's on me. I messed up. You're right, man. Hey, y'all got me. Hey, that was funny. That was good. Hey, I'm going to be better next time. I do love solitaire, though. There was a way to play this a little bit more fun, a little bit more tongue-in-cheek than this. Stephen A., I want better for you. That's number one. Number two, now I know he's dealing with an injury, and I get that. And that is part of why he played so poorly yesterday. What in the world was Tyrese Halliburton doing? You couldn't help yesterday. You played 34 minutes. You made as many shots as Rob and we didn't play in the game. You had 4 points. Tyrese Halliburton, playing as poorly as he played yesterday, gave the Pacers very little chance of winning. And you know what? That's okay. This is what made me mad about yesterday.
T.J. McConnell got them back in the game. I don't know what got into T.J. McConnell, but I'm telling you, in that third quarter, he couldn't miss. Everything he threw up went in the net. He's doing up and under scoop moves, hitting threes. I thought we were watching 06 Kobe Bryant yesterday for the Indiana Pacers. It felt like it in the third quarter. I've never seen a team have a guy that was cooking the way that he was. I'm talking about Benihana. I mean, Hibachi Grill. Cooking. Then he just didn't play basically in the fourth quarter. He didn't play again until the game was wrapped up. Instead, Tyrese Halliburton is out there, clearly hobbled, clearly limited, and can't help you on either side of the ball. I understand you got to dance with the girl that brought you here, but part of it, you just got to have the awareness, hey, big dog, it's not your night. You hadn't made a shot. You don't have the same abilities. Hey, why don't we shut it down for the day? We'll get you back in the trainer room. We'll try to get you ready for game six. This could be our last game of the season. I thought that Indiana completely mismanaged the fourth quarter of that game. There was no reason to sit T.J. McConnell for basically all of the fourth quarter. Certainly the parts that mattered, especially when, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander dropped 30 yesterday, and Jalen Williams, he looked like Kawhi Leonard back with the San Antonio Spurs. He was doing everything. He looked like Scottie Pippen in 92. He was playing great defense. He's blocking shots. He's getting down the court. He's dunking. He had 40 yesterday. He's knocking down threes. He was a man that did a little bit of everything yesterday. You needed more firepower. You needed more punch. And Tyrese Halliburton, your all-star, your Olympian, the guy who has got you here, he wasn't your best player yesterday. The sixth man off the bench, T.J. McConnell, that was your best option yesterday to win the game, and they decided to roll with their normal rotation and what got them at least to the NBA Finals, and I thought they really mismanaged the final 12 minutes of the game.
I told you yesterday, and you were like, I don't know why I see it that way, Rob, but I told you yesterday, I don't think Rick Carlisle has had a very good series. I don't think he's been a bumbling idiot. I don't think he is out there with, you know, blinders on, just unaware of what's happening in the basketball game, but I don't think he was very good in game four, and he wasn't good again last night. Everyone watching on television, everyone watching the game, except for Stephen A., everyone noticed, hey, Halliburton ain't right. And I assume the medical personnel who are sitting on your bench are also telling you this. T.J. McConnell is playing better right now. Maybe you have to manage his minutes. Maybe you give Halliburton a quick burst to give, you know, McConnell a little break. That's coaching. I get it. But you are closer to the situation than anyone. You're getting the stat sheet every TV timeout. You're hearing from the medical people. You're looking down the bench and seeing Tyrese Halliburton. You can speak to Tyrese Halliburton. You didn't know that he wasn't right. You didn't know that he's not good to go for the fourth. You're not thinking, oh, he's going to break out when he has zero buckets heading into the final quarter of game five of the NBA Finals. And by the way, I will fully admit, I'll go anti-Stephen A. Smith here. I thought at halftime that game was done. And I started doing other stuff. And then I saw on social media, oh, the Pacers made a run in the third quarter, and I came back.
It got down to a two-point game in the fourth quarter. The Pacers made the game very, very interesting.
But it was non-Halliburton, and then we went right back to Halliburton for some reason.
All you need to know about the NBA Finals, you don't have to have watched a second of the NBA Finals. All you need to know is that Johnny Furphy made more baskets in the game than Tyrese Halliburton. That's all you need to know. You don't need to honestly look up any other stat. Johnny Furphy, who I forgot was a basketball player, hadn't heard from him, hadn't seen him in a very long time. I was like, hey, I know that guy. I was like that Leonardo DiCaprio meme. Hey, I remember him. Who should probably still be at Kansas, by the way, but you know what? That's neither here nor there. KU might actually won the Big 12 last year. They had a little Johnny Furphy action. Would have got them certainly a guy that could score off the bench. We got them a little wing option. He made more baskets yesterday than Tyrese Halliburton. It explains why the Pacers lost by 11 yesterday. This game was, it was winnable. And the Pacers, to me, have left a couple of opportunities on the table. They left game four on the table when they had Oklahoma City up against the ropes. They got this to a two-point game in the fourth quarter, and they decided to go with Tyrese Halliburton, and I get it. Tyrese Halliburton played 34 minutes yesterday. He needed to play like 23 minutes yesterday, And you needed to give those minutes to T.J. McConnell. I mean, he played 22 minutes yesterday. He scored 18 points. I mean, he was phenomenal yesterday, carried you in the third quarter. I really thought they mishandled and mismanaged the final 12 minutes of the game. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. We'll get his thoughts on this past week with the Royals. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.